Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
Hey, welcome to Stone Cold Stros. I'm Brandon Strange alongside Charlie Palillo. Next to him is Josh Jordan, who you can hear weekdays on Sports Talk 790. You can follow them on X at Palillo and at Josh Jordan SCS. On today's episode, no, you're not hallucinating. The Astros won a road series and shut out an opponent on the same day. Speaking of hallucinating, good news. Dana Brown assures the fan base we're going to be just fine. Pretty sure he means we as in Houstonians in general, because his team still needs pitching. Charlie and Josh, welcome in. It's a rare occasion as of late when we can fire up the old podcast machine and talk about a winning series, but the Astros went into Cleveland and snagged 2 of 3 from a first place team, and we're an eighth inning bullpen meltdown away from, dare I say, a sweep. A wise man once said, you have to win when Spencer Arrighetti pitches. We may need to expand that to include Pete Lambert starts. Charlie, we'll start with you. What did you see from the pitching in this series?
Baby steps, baby steps. Arrighetti a second consecutive good outing, and Peter Lambert to the rescue in the rubber game. Now, I would not suggest loading up on Peter Lambert stock. His professional track record is what it is. However, lightning caught in a bottle for spurts is part of why we follow this stuff. If the form chart always held, there'd be no reason to care. So while not forecasting it, I'm not going to completely rule out that Peter Lambert could have a little jag like J.P. France did in 2023. What was J.P. France before that? Nothing. What was J.P. France after that? Nothing. More recently, Jason Alexander last season. Brandon Walter before his arm fell off. Last season, where guys hit their stride, Jupiter aligns with Mars, the tumblers click into place, and how is this guy having this success? Long-term sustainable? No. But as a gap filler, that said, it was one start for Peter Lambert, one good start after a shaky first outing, but we know he's earned at least another one when the Astros go back on the road next week. It's still bullpen whack-a-mole as to who's going to give it up. Brian Abreu in late inning witness protection when the Astros have the lead. Eniel De Los Santos, so far so good in a very short term closer role, which will be a little bit longer than that, one presumes, since Josh Hader's not coming back until the end of May, maybe. The Guardians aren't a very good offense, but the way the Astros have pitched, take what you can get. They dropped the team ERA below 6. In the series, and as you noted, Brandon, all right, the Guardians have been certainly not overwhelming in leading the American League Central, but a first-place team. So can the Astros actually win consecutive series? Thoughts still to come during this episode of Stone Cold Stros.
Yeah, let's hope they can still win series. When we last spoke, we were talking about how offense had kind of come back to the middle of the pack over the past couple weeks, and that's really hurt the Astros because we know the pitching has remained consistently pretty much the worst in baseball, but they're still managing to find ways to win. And offense bounced back. You get 9 runs in the opener, 5 in the second game, and in the finale, you only get 2, but that's all you needed because the pitching showed up. Yordan is still on a tear. We really see some – we'll get to the lineup here in a minute. I'll stick with the pitching. I think Ryan Weiss is somebody that could have been worse in that start the other day. What is certainly not good. Only 3 1/3, giving up a couple runs, but continues to kill a lot of these guys with walks. He had 4 walks in the 3 1/3 inning. You go that along with 5 hits, that is just constant traffic on the bases. And then you got some help in that middle game there where Kaiwei Tang's been pitching really good. It's just Brian King, De Los Santos, they had some bumps in the road there, had some defensive miscues mixed in as well. So overall, you have to be happy with what you got in this series because you got a series win. They won on the road, which is huge. And you saw the bullpen bounce back. They took care of business. And And maybe you have something with a couple of these guys. Charlie's right. If you could have Jason Alexander doing what he was doing, it's not that crazy that Lambert could pull something off similar, because he's got better stuff. At least he could throw in the mid-90s and has some other out pitches, where Alexander just kind of relies on that mid-80s fastball and his changeup. So maybe we're just scratching the surface. I don't expect him to be a top-of-the-rotation guy, but maybe he can be the Band-Aid until some of these injured guys come back.
The walks are an absolute killer, Josh. I mean, that's how they got themselves into that trouble in the middle game. I think the encouraging thing about Peter Lambert is it does show that the Astros pitching coaches and advanced scouting still have a little bit of that ability to pull rabbits out of the hat. Now, obviously that's isolated because the rest of the pitching staff is falling apart. I don't know that I can blame that on them. You know, with the Brian Abreu thing is just so interesting, Charlie, and you brought it up, because for all the tired arms that are on the staff and the fact they had to go to King in that middle game and he just gives it all up, they do have a well-rested arm in the pen, which is Brian Abreu, because he hasn't pitched in forever. And a spot is now, as you mentioned, pivoting to King and De Los Santos and leverage over Abreu, whose velo is down. So that's certainly concerning. He hasn't been able to locate anything. But if they aren't going to put him on the IL, a la what they did with Imai, what do you think the plan is for him?
I mean, Joe Espada said with Brian Abreu, we keep needing to running him out there. And hey, he's been one of the best relievers in the game for years. Well, I mean, guys are among the best until they no longer are. And while Espada said that out of one side of his mouth, he very soon thereafter demoted him from the closer's role. Managers aren't going to always be forthright with the media. The job almost requires that be the case. One other name we need to mention, Kaiwei Teng's been outstanding. Mm-hmm. We're still only about 15 innings of work into the season, but that he's been a two-inning bridge with all of these short-outing starts before you get to the one-inning guys in the late going. Teng does have some history as a starter. Do things reach a point where the Astros consider lengthening him even more? I'm going to guess no, because they like having one guy they feel can give them the sixth and the seventh inning, the fifth and the sixth inning. It's still about stabilization of competent work. They just don't have the talent to have a really good starting rotation, at least not until Hunter Brown is back fronting it, pitching like last season's Hunter Brown. But, you know, when a guy goes six innings, it's like you want to schedule a parade the next day. So Lambert doing that was huge. Arrighetti doing that last time out was huge. Very few starters go beyond seven innings these days, but you can't go three and a third or four and a third on a regular basis as a staff and think you're going to win a good chunk of your games.
Yeah. Ryan Weiss has been disappointing. And obviously we've talked about Mike Burrows. I guess the advanced analytics show that Burrows has been a little bit unlucky, but at the end of the day, it's results oriented and they're going to have to get quality innings out of Burrows if they're going to turn this around and right the ship and stabilize, because they showed it in this series. If you get decent pitching, they won two out of three games, and you don't have to have the league's best offense to do it. You just need to be able to not completely implode in the middle innings or the starters, as the case may be sometimes.
And for those wondering, well, what else might they have at AAA? Miguel Ulloa has a live arm, but guess what? His career track record is wildness, walking guys left and right. And we mentioned the Astros dropped their staff ERA down to 5.89 at the end of the Cleveland series. Sugar Land's giving up more than seven runs per game so far. Now, there are a good number of hitters parks in the Pacific Coast League. No other team is giving up more than seven runs per game.
And quickly, I mentioned Lucas Giolito last week as a possible option for the Astros. He was available, free agent. Advanced analytics aren't great on him, but last year, 10-4, 3.41 ERA. The Astros could certainly use that. Well, no longer an option. He signed a one-year deal with the Padres.
I mean, Dana Brown says they're going to be fine. I mean, obviously, the headline of the Astros right now is Yordan. We're going to get to him in just a second, but let's take a minute for StoneColdCruise.com. That's your metaphorical portal to save hundreds of dollars on your next cruise vacation, because it is the literal web portal to contact Nat Latman at Cruise Planners. Nat can, in fact, help you with all your travel needs, but cruises are his specialty because his software finds all the best deals and perks available. Did I mention the savings? owe the savings versus booking yourself. And just as importantly as saving money is saving you time versus booking it yourself. It's like using AI to book your trip, except the intelligence is not artificial. It comes from experience and industry connections. He can cater a specific trip to your personal needs or budget. So what are you waiting for? Go to stonecoldcruise.com and fill out the form to get started, or call Nat or Jenny directly at 281-892-1150. Tell them you heard about it on Stone Cold Stros. So it's been a complete role reversal from last season when the Astros had such an anemic offense. This year, Yordan's healthy and hitting bombs on the reg, looking like one of the most feared hitters of his generation. The team's carrying the second best OPS in baseball, third most runs, but it's still leaking water from a health standpoint. Nick Allen and Taylor Trammell join the list of walking wounded. What do you guys make of where this offense is right now?
Salute to Yordan. You're the wrestling guy or guys. One-man gang was a thing at some point, right? Yordan, just unreal, except very real. Heading into the Yankee series, 347 batting average, OPS 1,245. Obviously unsustainable, but not for a month's period of time. June 2022, Yordan hit 418 for that month with a 1346 OPS. So this is not uncharted territory for Yordan. He's played every game so far. Joe Espada's kind of walked the walk. Only six games in left field for Yordan, 20 as a designated hitter. Of course, that's because Jeremy Pena's missed a chunk of games. Paredes missed the three on bereavement a couple weeks back. So we'll see how that is finessed when they get to full personnel. Pena's eligible to come off the IL Friday. I would not think he comes right off and goes into the lineup. Jose Altuve goes 0 for Cleveland. Right? He was 0 for 14 in the series, dropping his average down to 255. And again, small sample size theater. When Jose Altuve was the walking man, you know, sometimes you face pitchers who don't come close to throwing strikes. You have no choice but to walk. 12 in the first 10 games, only three now drawn by Altuve in the last 15 games as his OPS has faded down to about 660. Well, he's due to get going again. And the one other name I'll touch upon, hey, welcome to the season, Isak Paredes. The two home run game Monday. I mean, it's not like he had a tremendous follow-up. One for three and a walk, I think, in the Tuesday game. One for four Wednesday. But he'd been 98-pound weakling with just a couple of doubles. So if Paredes gets back to the range of where he was last year, as we talked about, if you're going to be in that lineup, whether immediately behind Yordan or a couple of spots, hey, you need to produce because you're going to have runners on base unless Yordan's just cleared them all.
That's true. And Joe Espada made a little adjustment there, moving Correa up to lead off, putting Altuve behind Yordan, thinking being Altuve was hitting well, and that'll give him a little bit of protection. But now Altuve's in this funk that Charlie just outlined. He hasn't walked since the 18th against the Cardinals. So you just have to hope that he gets hot again. Remember, we were talking about Christian Walker totally cooling off the last time we got together. Looks like he's starting to bounce back a little bit, had a big home run. Remember, he took that, what was like a 97-mile-an-hour fastball off the hand and ended up staying in the game. But you wonder if maybe that limited him for a couple days and maybe he's feeling a little bit better now. And obviously, that's a great thing. But Altuve's got to get going again. But you're right, Charlie. Paredes starting to hit the ball is just huge for this team. And, you know, him talking about moving positions, maybe that affecting him. I don't know if I buy into that, but obviously, he looks pretty good at third base. Made a really nice defensive play at third base as well. Nice bare hand play. So I think they're starting to click. And as long as Yordan's doing what he's doing, they're going to be in pretty good shape. But, man, you've outlined it, Charlie, and I didn't really want to go there. But, yeah, Correa is just kind of a punch-the-ball-through-the-infield kind of guy for the most part right now. And I know he had a double in this series in the finale, and every now and then he'll get that for you. But it kind of makes sense that maybe he hits in front of Yordan because just get on base because he's not really giving you any type of power whatsoever. It's starting to get a little concerning for me with him. Over the last couple of weeks, on-base percentage is good, but his slugging is consistently in the 300s, just not the type of power you were hoping from Correa. It doesn't seem like it's an injury thing or anything like that, so hopefully they can just make some adjustments. They got new hitting coaches. maybe they can get Correa going.
Yeah, the power was meh last year and much worse so far. This one home run as we're about to reach the 1/6 mark of the season with the schedule Friday night. Cam Smith is still scuffling. He's now below 240. And then you look at the bottom of the lineup. Hey, Christian Vasquez was going to hit 400 forever. Yiner still, by and large, a mess. And when you look what they did to the roster in a three-day stretch, I mean, it was getting relatively close to inviting the three of us. Dustin Harris, DFA'd by the White Sox. Braden Shoemake, I mean, Giga Mags, but career minor leaguer, 28 years old. They trade a low-level pitcher to get a body to replace Nick Allen. And then when Trammell goes down, Daniel Johnson, who'd been released earlier this season by the Marlins, 30-year-old organization guy, and 2 days later is in the Astros starting lineup. So that at AAA, they just have nothing that qualifies as a legit prospect that you'd even take a flyer on to bring up. Presumably, if Zach Cole had been healthy, he'd gotten one of these outfield cracks. But he didn't make the team because he had a poor spring. So good for those guys. Every day you're on a major league roster making the major league minimum, you're making more than $4,000. And if you're on the roster for 43 days, you're eligible for some pay down the line in the pension plan. And you can choose to remain in the MLB medical plan for life once you get to the major leagues. But that Dustin Harris, Braden Shoemake, and Daniel Johnson are all on the Astros 26-man roster. Ay-yay-yay.
Yeah, Charlie, it's like you're reading off my notes here. But when I circle back to Paredes, because it's obviously so important that he gets going. And for Correa, it's so frustrating. It seems like bases are empty. He can hit a single. If someone's on first, he's almost an automatic double play. It's very, very frustrating to watch. And Charlie, just to underline what you said, it's crazy how top heavy this lineup is, considering the numbers that I read out earlier when we started on this topic. They're producing on offense, and you've got guys named Dustin Harris and Daniel Johnson taking ABs. They sound more like generic players generated in GM mode on MLB The Show than they do actual MLB players. So move on now to the big rival, Astros host, the Yankees, who come in swinging some decently hot bats, 6th in OPS and 9th in runs in MLB. But it's that third best ERA that really has been the difference for them. What will you guys be looking for in this series?
Best team in the American League so far this season rolling into town. And that's with Gerrit Cole yet to throw a pitch. He's making minor league starts, probably back in a month, 6 weeks. Carlos Rodon had a very solid season for them last year. His arm wore out by the end of the postseason. He's yet to pitch this year. Hey, this weekend, the Astros get a nice draw on paper. They will not face Max Fried, the Yankees' current ace, or, say it carefully, Cam Schlittler, their late season phenom last year, who brings the gas and is off to a very strong start. So the Astros will face Will Warren, who's been pitching very well, lefty Ryan Weathers, and then I'm guessing Luis Gil in the finale on Sunday if they're comfortable throwing him on 4 days rest. But the Astros are missing the Yankees' best on the mound. Everyone enjoys, the Astros fan portion of the crowd, booing Aaron Judge. The power's there, of course, 9 home runs, but not off to a great start by Judgian standards if we are to judge him by those. Yeah, he's not hitting 250. Giancarlo Stanton's been pretty quiet so far. The bat who has been going nuts so far this season for them is their first baseman, Ben Rice, OPS within shouting range of Yordan so far this season.
I'm going to be looking at the Astros pitching. Most of these, really all three of these guys, we expected to have some role in the rotation with McCullers, Burrows, and Arrigetti. Problem is McCullers and Burrows have ERAs over 6 to go along with Ryan Weiss. But Arrigetti, there's my guy. You got to win your Arrigetti games. He's going to start the finale. They're at home. Hopefully he's got that curveball working again. He's looked good so far in limited time, but he has looked good. So they got to find a way to get Burrows on track. McCullers has said he feels like he's not throwing the ball that poorly. And in some ways he's right, but it's just he's another one of those guys where you feel like you won the lottery if he gets through 4 or 5 innings. And this bullpen's already, we know, in so much trouble. They got to get these starting pitchers back on track. With Burrows, you at least you have a little more hope that he can reach that upside the Astros thought he could reach. With McCullers, I mean, you're glad he's healthy. And he, I mean, that's kind of all you can be with Lance right now, unfortunately, because he has pitched some good games, but overall doesn't look a whole lot different than last year. And that's why the Astros ERA is so bad as a team, because you can name pretty much every starter and their ERA is around six.
I'm just going to be looking for Yordan to keep doing what he's doing. I think taking two of three from the Yankees would be a boost to morale, but they're not going to be able to do that unless the big man's mashing the way he has been. And I, going back to my other question, I'm even looking at Abreu and what they're going to do with him. I do think it's very plausible for an IL stint to be in his future, but that is obviously complicated by the logjam that's now on the 40-man, because anytime they've had to move guys around, they're having to DFA guys or whatever to make room for them. So I don't know what the practicality of that is and what the roster would look like, but for a team that needs so much depth because they've worn through so many of these relievers, they have to free up a spot and they have to bring in a fresh arm, whoever that may be. Final thoughts before we're out the door.
Well, if the Astros aren't going to want to win in the American League West, they can make their statement that they could win the American League East if they were geographically relocated. The Yankees, and then they're on the road for the Orioles and the Red Sox. I want to give a mention of the Astros this week announcing the Astros Hall of Fame class of 2026. It's a class of two. Sadly, Phil Garner will be honored posthumously. Happily, the Astros disclosed that they had told Phil Garner of this upcoming honor before his passing 2 weekends ago. Gar will go in with Alan Ashby, a really good guy. Still the all-time Astros catcher in franchise history. Then a couple of lengthy stints as a broadcaster. He was an excellent analyst, Alan Ashby. Some would argue too good for his own good at points, which is a sad statement on a couple of levels. But Ash, a switch-hitting catcher, when he got to the major leagues, couldn't hit worth a damn, but was thought of as a really good receiver. As his career evolved, he became a pretty solid offensive player, occasional pop, but struggled to throw runners out at all behind the plate. If you have a YouTube moment or MLB.com, you can find it at the time. One of the greatest moments in Astros history, 1981. It was the strikes year, so the playoffs began with a division series. So it was the Astros and the Dodgers, game one, best of five at the Dome. Bottom of the ninth, two out, a man on base, tie game. And Alan Ashby corks one in the right field corner for, they weren't called walk-off home runs back then, but that's what it was. On the call that you can find, long ago Astros voice and now forever Tampa Bay Rays voice, Dwayne Statz, and a color analyst by the name of Larry Durker.
For me, it's going to be Bryce Matthews. He's being forced into more playing time because of all the injuries that are happening. And he has had some opportunities and had some big hits. And people were questioning, like Taylor Trammell, we get why you're using him. He's left-handed, but we know what he is. Why not give Bryce Matthews some opportunities, see what he can do? He's one of your top prospects. So looks like he's going to get to play a little bit more here. He showed some signs in the batter's box. We'll see if he can have any kind of prolonged success there, cut down on the strikeouts. But boy, that would be really something if he could get going and look like the player that you drafted in the first round.
And perhaps have someone other than Altuve seemingly giving him base running tips.
Correct.
Yeah, tough for Trammell, though, because while we do know what he is, he was having a good start to his season. Obviously, that spring where he also did well and couldn't make the team, we don't expect him or would have expected him to keep up those numbers, but it's a meritocracy. You know, Taylor had played him his way onto the team, so unfortunate that he gets sidetracked a little bit with injury. And to dovetail off of what you said, Charlie, congrats to Scrap Iron and Ashby for their inductions. I echo your thoughts, Charlie. I really miss Ash on the broadcast. One last reminder, if you're watching on YouTube, be sure to click like on the video. And if you listen on podcast apps like Apple or Spotify, give us a 5-star rating while you're here. Reminder for Texans fans, be sure to subscribe to our other podcast, Texans on Tap. For Charlie and Josh, I'm Brandon saying so long. Thanks for listening. And as always, go Astros.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.